Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hour number two of Show and Vern. I am Ron, the show Hughley. That is Joshua Lamont Vernier. And Steven Serta produces this bad boy all day today on Show and Vern. Your chance to win not one, but two pair of Royals Twins tickets each and every segment. And let's do it right now. Caller number 13. Lucky number 13. 913-576-7610. Right now, your chance to win a pair of Royals Twins tickets. Caller number 13. Right now.
This segment of Show and Vern presented by Mazarese Jewelry for generations of distinctive jewelry. Located in Leawood, just off of 135th.
You know, I probably should have told you this during the break, but I like when you do it. I want you to find this tweet because I want you to read it. I want you to read it all because we got Reggie. I'm gonna retweet it right now. And Vern,
you can find Ron on Twitter at Ronnie H Show. RONNIEH Show. Ronnie H Show. Don't call him Ronnie. But his Twitter handle is Ronnie H. Show.
Could you retweet it? Because you have more people following. It's not that funny.
Sort of. I mean, I'm gaining ground on you right now. I'm up over 2,000.
All right, guys. No one cares.
Anyway, I just retweeted it. But I just want you to look in his eyes. And you know we've coined him Nasty Ass Reggie.
All right, I retweeted it as well.
We've coined him Nasty Ass Reggie. Because he is the nasty one.
It's a tweet from James Winchester.
And then I responded to
the long snapper?
The long snapper, his face. And then I responded to
it. Is that him in the background real quick? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's him. That's him in the background. I responded to it. And then Reggie reading my response. And I'm going to have Vern read here. Reggie reading my response, his nasty ass himself, I believe, chuckled. And retweeted it.
So you want me to read what you tweeted?
That's right.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
You're disgusting.
Come on. This is a step for us. Nasty-ass Reggie knows about us.
He's known about us. He's acknowledged us before on Twitter.
He has not like this.
When you first brought up Nia Jax, he heard it and tweeted about how crazy some people are. He was talking about you.
I don't know about that. This we definitely know. It was about us.
So it's a picture of Reggie Ragland flexing production day yesterday.
And he's got that nasty look in his eye.
Ron quote tweeted it saying, as the well-known Mr. Nasty, Reggie Ragland, I know that look. And whoever she is, she's ready.
And he laughed and retweeted it.
You don't know if he laughed.
He had to. You just did it. How can you read that without chuckling?
I was reading it in your voice.
I know it, but you know you laughed a little bit when you saw it. And then he retweeted it.
Yeah, I don't see what you're talking about in this picture.
You don't see it? Oh, Serta, pull it up. Congratulations to Brett and Oak Grove. If you're just now seeing it, I retweeted it and Vern.
Brett and Oak Grove won those Royals tickets.
Vern retweeted it.
Yeah, I retweeted it. At Josh Vern, you're 6'10".
You can see he's got that. That's the look that he had when he saw Nia come off the rope.
So does that mean that I don't know. Does that mean that the camera person was doing it for him?
I don't know. I just think, listen, from somebody who is as nasty as he is.
Right.
Sometimes you're just always ready. Like, sometimes when I get in to take pictures, that nasty gleam comes over, and I see it. I just wonder what Reggie was thinking.
I do feel like he does that right before he gets
you don't,
nasty.
Do you see the nasty in his eyes?
Oh, yeah. He's
flexing. I don't know how you don't see that.
He feels like he's lost weight. He feels like he's in really good shape right now.
He ain't got no draws on. Nothing.
He's like, I look good.
Yeah. Yeah, ain't nothing underneath those pants.
What?
But Reg.
Like that time LeGarrette Blount was taking those pictures?
Yes. But look in his eyes. God, he's got his beard together the way he wants it.
For those that don't remember how Ron stumbled upon the fact that Reggie Ragland is indeed nasty, it goes back to last season, him talking about Anthony Hitchens.
I learned a lot about Hitch. Some things I'm not going to tell y'all for the most part. But Hitch is a great person, man. He loves football for the most part. We always talk football once we're here. But once we're out, we always talk about life. And always telling me I need to settle down and quit running in the streets with all these different females and everything. So...
That's when we knew. That's when we knew he was nasty-ass Reggie.
I don't see it. I think that's just a guy that's really feeling all the weight that he's lost.
I'm looking at him in his eyes. It looks like he says to her, I'm going to show you what 59 is. You may know what 69 is. I'm going to show you what 59 is.
You're pretty happy with that one.
Yeah, I am.
He did something with melted butter that night.
Come on, right? The look at his
eye. Wait, is Steve nasty?
Steve, come on now. Look at that smile.
I didn't know. Hey. Normally when
you're right, listener 33.
It's about you.
You know, listener 33. Yes. You know he licks his lips before anyone takes his picture. Yes. Those lips just got lipped, and then those eyes went into. He probably messed up. I don't know who was taking that picture. But that person there who was looking at him straight on with that, he probably got to him.
I think he's getting to you. I think those eyes are getting to you.
Oh, I just know nasty, and I'm proud of him.
Durant goes to work.
So
ball
proud.
Knocked away.
Oh.
Durant's hurt. He's hurt. He's hobbling off. Uh-oh. On the break. Ibaka goes up and got fouled by Livingston.
He's holding his right leg.
Yep.
And oh, it looks like in the same place. I don't want to speculate.
People are cheering an injury.
It's not good.
Timeout Warriors. Kevin Durant gets up, and he is limping badly. And people are cheering. Oh. Really?
Oh.
That's what you're doing?
That guy let it go, right? That is the
That's
Golden,
what you're doing, really?
The Golden State. Oh, come on.
Who are
he
you,
didn't
man?
Do that, man.
I know, but that passive-aggressive BS, what is that?
Golden
really,
State.
Toronto?
That's
this
the Golden
is
State.
What you're doing?
That's the Golden State Warriors Good Radio Lord, Network. Man. Good Lord, that's supposed to be your line, and you just took off. By the way, here from the 816, Vern, take control of this show from show. He drives it into a ditch about now every day. To hell with you. I've got the wheel.
We appreciate you listening, and we'll miss you.
Steve will. No, I'm not going to come, because today a lot of people, Vern, are going to crush the Toronto Raptors fan. Like, they're going to get down and crush. And the thing is, the people who are going to crush them are people that I saw last night on Twitter crushing them are fans, other fans. And I say this, 95% of you, in my opinion, I believe your first instinct, if you were Toronto, if you were the Chiefs, and the Chiefs were on the doorstep of winning the Super Bowl, and it looked like that of Tom Brady limping off could get you to the Super Bowl, your first instinct is, oh, God, oh, it's going to happen. I bet 95% of you's first instinct is happiness. If you saw Tom Brady limp off, not if it's a serious thing, not if he's out cold, knocked out, but limp off, you're like, oh, God. I bet you so many of those people thought, oh, my God, we just won the championship. And I'm not going to crush the fans. I mean, I saw so many people, he is classless. Listen, they didn't continue. They got a hold of themselves. fans don't generally live in reality. And I'm not going to say they were right for it, but I'm just not going to get on it and just, oh, they were terrible. Toronto fans are the worst ever, because I think 95% of fan bases like that. And that, with those stakes, with everything on the line that it was with your team, I think they would have first instinct. Yes!
There's no question. I hate when something like this comes up, because let's not act as if we care about athletes. We never have and we never will. We love athletes that win for us. We love athletes while the good times are going on, but we will discard of you just as quickly. This isn't new. We can all jump atop a moral high ground if we want, but we're all the same. These guys are entertainers. We don't view them as human beings. We never have, and I don't think we ever will. No, it's not surprising. Even when the fans came to their senses and stopped cheering, I mean, they're still giving high fives. They're still internally thinking, the championship is ours now. This is overall good news for us. Again, guys, we turned our backs on Alex Gordon. Right? People took shots at Alex Gordon for 2.5 years. Alex Gordon, you know, I mean, we act when the time is right. We act like we care, but then we don't really. Like, again, I mentioned this to you guys before the show. Alden Smith gets in trouble again last night in the area, and he is a punchline. People in the newsroom are coming up to me from other stations laughing about Alden Smith. Oh, man, that's a human being that is obviously, or what seems to be, troubled. But had he won a Super Bowl for the Chiefs, Raiders, Niners, had he won a Super Bowl, it would have been a sad story, more of a somber story. But instead, because he never fulfilled the promise, he's scoffed at, he's dismissed, he's thrown away. No, I'm not surprised that fans cheer, that especially in today's world,
and we're not,
where we view the entire world through a lens. Nothing seems real nowadays. You say whatever think about that woman, the woman that was crushed on Twitter because they thought she said something to Jay-Z to offend Beyonce. We don't care about anyone's feelings in 2019. We're watching it all through a lens, through a screen. Nobody seems real in today's social media landscape.
And I'm not saying that wasn't right, but I'm just telling you, other fans coming down on other fans for doing this. Come on now. 95% of fans, your mind is such and you all act like you want it more than they want it. Then your team wants it. And you see that, your mind just goes, oh, God, we just want it. Like someone texted in, I think they were cheering more for a great player that wasn't going to play versus cheering. He was actually hurt. No, they were cheering for him hurt initially. And then they started.
And what it symbolizes.
Then they were cheering, oh, God, we're bad. They caught themselves after like 3 minutes or 2 minutes. And then they, yeah. So
God, I call people bums at baseball games. Man, I wouldn't do that in real life. Again, it is a wall between, we're watching it on TV. I mean, how often do we see this where fans act as if those aren't real human beings out there playing a game? No, this is all entertainment. You cheer the good guy and you root for the demise of the bad guy. This is the same. It's the exact same as, I mean, it's not the same as a movie, but it's always been treated the same as a movie by the masses, and it always will. This will continue.
Yeah, I tried to, like an idiot one time, I tried to, I don't want to say pick a fight, but talk real trash to some Boston Red Sox pitcher. I forgot his name.
Tim Wakefield?
John something. John, it starts with a B.
Derek Lowe?
No, his first name's John, and his last name starts with a B. He swung and turned and looked at me.
John Burnett.
That's it.
There you go. Yeah,
that's it.
I'm taking the rest of this segment off.
That's it. Way to pull it out, man. I'm telling you, we need to go and play $100,000 pyramid right now. Yeah. I give, you receive.
Yeah. You're going to have to give away the Royals ticket or something, because I'm just going to bask in the glow of me pulling John Burnett out.
That's big time. It was him, too. He gave me the finger. All right, your chance right now to win a pair of Royals Twins tickets. caller number nine. Big nine. Caller number nine. 913-576-7610. Your chance to win Royals Twins tickets. You know I ain't gonna just give it away to you. You got to work for it. Protein House, Eat with a Purpose. Text line 69306. Always include your listener number at the end. You get to pick your own listener number unless I gave you one. But here's the question. Males, have you ever used clear fingernail polish on your fingers? And females, if you win, do you know any males who do it?
What?
You know that clear fingernail polish?
Yeah, but why would I use that?
My grandpa did it for years. I've done it a couple of times.
Just to make them look shiny?
Yeah, to make them look better. Make them look better.
Like, I've gotten a manicure before.
They're fingernails.
They're fingernails, and you want to get clear.
And there's nothing wrong with the manicure. I keep my fingernails clean.
My grandpa.
But I don't even look shiny.
The Reverend Dr. A.L. Johnson Sr., he would make them bad boys look good.
Yeah.
Look good. I've done it once or twice.
For what? Was it an event? Like your wedding day or something?
Just trying to pick it up.
Oh, just like Tuesday morning. Yeah, I'm going to paint my nails.
Yeah, paint it clear. Paint them clear. See how they look.
Did you do it yourself?
Do what you got to
do.
Yeah,
I did it myself.
Hey, good for you. I have never done
that. It's a good look. Try it.
No. Like, I'll do something that strengthens the nail, I guess. I've never. No. I don't know. I'm trying to come to your side. I don't.
I'm not asking you to come to my side.
I know, but
just give it a shot.
I'm not.
It'll look solid.
Steve seems like he's trying to pick on you. I'm trying to back up my buddy here. And yeah, no. I've gotten a manicure once. And
caller
they put
number
some
nine.
Sort of
I have too. Manicures are very pleasant.
Caller number nine. Here, I use clear fingernail polish to cover up
your dead toe or something like that.
Bug bites. Does that count?
Yeah, bug bites. I feel like that like kills the germs.
Oh,
you're going to say, like, herpes or something. Okay.
Good God, Steve. Man.
Where would they put... Oh, on... Yeah, never mind.
Yes, listener 21, I'm a firefighter, and I work with a guy who gets his fingernail polished.
Yeah, that's a manicure. There's nothing wrong polished with that. But
little,
Ron just seems
clear.
Like...
Look clear on there. Hey, a little extra look.
That'll be nice. Your daughter will love that as well. That'll be something that you guys can bond over.
I haven't done it in years, but I've done it once or twice.
Good for you, man. Did it look good? Did you do it well?
Yeah, it didn't even look. You couldn't even notice it. It just looked like, man, that guy's got good fingernails.
913-576-7610. Did you see the video yesterday? The Royals tweeted it out. Salvador Perez, Whit Merrifield, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. They're presenting it as the Mount Rushmore of Kansas City athletes. Salvi and Whit from the Royals, Mahomes and Kelce from the Chiefs. If you watch the video, Terrence Gore is in the clubhouse talking with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Terrence Gore, Kelce, and Mahomes chatting it up. Salvi walks in, and Terrence Gore just fades into the background as both Mahomes and Kelce begin to fawn over Sal.
What's up, brother? What's up, brother? How are you? Man, Bobby, what's up, brother? Good, good to see you, man.
All right, so they're all really close, it appears. Salvi comes in, Terrence Gore fades away. I don't know, man. I felt bad.
What are you doing here?
I felt bad for Terrence Gore. Like, I really wonder, does Travis Kelce, does Patrick Mahomes know who Terrence Gore is? Because I know Terrence Gore's son probably knows who Patrick Mahomes is. And there's a sneaky suspicion that I have that Terrence Gore embellished his relationship with Patrick Mahomes to his son to appear cooler.
He doesn't.
He's for sure done that.
No, he hasn't.
He's
a professional.
To his son
you don't have
to cooler. Yeah.
No, he's a professional athlete and a world champion. He doesn't have to embellish.
Terrence's son never really.
How old is Terrence's son? His son's not even old enough to have to. What is he?
He's
three?
Like your son's age. No, he's your son's age.
I think Mahomes would be a better Major League Baseball player right now than Terrence Gore.
Yeah, he's about 5 or 6. He's about your son's
so
age.
So he was there when Terrence won a championship, sort of.
I know who Terrence Gore is.
That's not
I would
true.
Know him
he was
on
like
the
1 year
street.
Old.
He was alive?
Okay, but he doesn't have any memories. What he does know is that Patrick Mahomes is the cool athlete with the cool hair, and my dad is friends with him?
No.
No, I think Terrence Gore embellishes. I would if I was Terrence Gore.
You're 5 or 6. If
Patrick Mahomes is the biggest star on the planet, and my dad is friends with him. My dad continues to be Superman.
Man, I used to do security at the church, and my son thought I was the coolest thing in the world at the church. If you're a professional,
right. On top of that, and my dad shook hands with Patrick Mahomes on Sunday.
No, my dad plays baseball in the majors. I'm a professional athlete.
Does he?
He does. Yes, he does. He play. Yes, he does. It gets thrown out on the base pass. You're damn right he does. His son, his dad is a professional athlete at 5 and 6. No, he doesn't need to embellish. Now, if he was 13 or 14, maybe.
Yeah, come August. See if he's still holding on to that big league baseball player.
My dad's a champion. Okay. Got to play with the ring and stuff before.
Because that's how five-year-olds talk.
He got to play with the ring before and stuff.
Yeah. That's how five-year-olds brag.
His dad's
already a champion.
His dad's already the most amazing thing in there.
I know, but he could go to a different level.
No,
I'm going to lie to my kid all the time.
You could. Yeah, you might have to. If you're a professional athlete, you don't have to lie to your kid. Obviously, my son believes that's the coolest job at anybody at his school. Doesn't have to lie about it. Kevin and KC Moe, congratulations on the Royals Twins tickets. Kevin, come on, be honest. You ever used any clear fingernail polish?
Yeah, I have.
Wow. That a boy.
That's an upset.
What was the reason you wanted to use it for?
You know, my daughter is 9, and she likes to do the whole paint the nails things. And as a dad, you just kind of let her. So I think I've had all colors of the rainbow plus clear.
That a boy. Congratulations, yeah. Kevin.
I'm going to say it with your chest.
Too. Yeah, he said it. Yeah, you're damn right I have. Someone, listener 36 Mafia, I've had a bad habit of biting my nails, so I use clear polish that's supposed to keep me from biting them. Good for him. Newsflash.
Serta's Newsflash.
Authorities in the Dominican Republic believe David Ortiz was shot by 2 police officers, potentially hired by a drug lord who thought the former Red Sox slugger was having an affair with his wife. According to a report, 3 law enforcement sources have confirmed the motive to the Daily Mail. The local drug lord has not been identified.
A male ego knows no bounds. Fame will get the better of any man, I feel. Which is really what makes guys like LeBron and Peyton and former President Obama, certain people that are in the spotlight like they are, for us to not be able to dig up anything on you is...
Terrence Gore.
See, now if I'm Terrence's son, I'm bragging about that. I'm listening to the radio, and my dad was mentioned with President Obama, LeBron James, and Peyton Manning. Oh, I'm bragging about that if I'm Terrence's son.
Were you surprised that the Red Sox went down to go get him?
Did they? I thought he just flew to Boston. I didn't know that.
No, they sent a plane.
Are you serious?
Yeah, the Red Sox sent a plane to go get
him. Why would I be surprised by that? They love him.
I know, but they don't need to do that.
I was a little surprised.
Especially if he's getting shot by a drug lord. I'm not trying to. Who's the pilot? Yeah. No, man,
that's
I don't
like
want
the
that.
Owner of the Red Sox went down personally. He doesn't care about the pilot of that plane.
Sent his plane down there to, like,
but to Serta's point, he's got more than one plane.
Yeah, but the Boston Red Sox said, go down and go get Big Poppy. That was a little surprising to me.
That's hog. I got so much hog, you better send a plane down here because I got shot.
Coming up right off the bat, as soon as we return, your chance to win Royals Twins tickets and Shop Talk. Coming up, they're your favorite segment because I'm sure you get tired of hearing me talk. Carrington from The Drive and Ryan Wachowski from Fesco in the Morning coming up.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
All right, welcome back in Show and Vern. As we've said all throughout the day, each and every segment, your chance to win 2 pair of Royals Twins tickets. Right now, caller number 12, 913-576-7610. Your chance right now to win Royals Twins tickets.
You guys got 12 people listening?
I hope so.
Even if we don't, the first person can
call
back. No,
that's all right, man. It's true. Man, we you know.
Or, we don't, so I didn't know. I was just checking on somebody else's.
It's a great tease.
Sometimes you're call and then hang up on myself just to make it look like we've got more phone calls.
There's no reason for you to do that. Nobody believed it. Yeah. It was just answer the phone.
913-576-7610.
Oh my God.
I like your little get up today, man. Nice little powder blue Royals throwback.
I appreciate that.
When do you start wearing the Marcus Peters jersey again? Is that a fall thing?
I wear it whenever I feel it.
Okay,
I wear how I feel.
I just haven't seen it since the pass interference call. That was the last time I saw it. I haven't seen it.
It does seem like it's taking a sabbatical.
Yeah, I haven't seen it for a while.
Hold on, man.
Damn. I haven't seen
it. As long as y'all just don't see the stain that I have in the middle of this shirt.
I try like hell.
Let me see it.
That's why I'm
He definitely got some mustard on
his stain.
It is, man. I've been trying to get.
Did you drop a brat on you?
It's a honey mustard, man. I've been trying to get
told
it out.
You, I told you it was some mustard.
I've taken this thing to Pry Cleaners 4 times. Can't get this stain out.
It's a ringing endorsement right there.
You can tell people getting hooked up whenever they specifically say the company. And this is from Pride Cleaners. He didn't say dry cleaners.
He said Pride Cleaners 4 times.
No, they take care of you, boy. I just say
that. See, I told you.
I like those good people. I've done
this. I know. Pride Cleaners.
I know. All right. Remember later on in this segment, your chance to win another pair of Royals Twins tickets. All right, fellas. Chris Jones. It's been made clear that he's not going to be participating in minicamp, and I think we all agree he is doing the right thing. And my thought to you is, are we so sure? Because Vern came in this morning like, man, I want to be sure that they're going to get a deal done, but am I so sure that by the end of camp or whenever the season starts that he is going to get a long-term deal? Are you completely confident in that?
Yeah, 100%. I would say, what's the point of a holdout if you only missed the optional stuff? Like, you didn't really hold out then. You missed the optional stuff. The holdout is missing the mandatory stuff. That's when it really matters. And we see this deadline make deals. You know, I mean, very rarely do these deals get made 6-7 weeks before they have to get made. I mean, once we get closer to training camp and then Chris Jones is threatening to not show up to when it, like, that's super mandatory. Right now, it's like mandatory, but it's like, it's still June. We agree. St. Joe is mandatory.
Yeah, and just reading some of the tea leaves, too, like the way that they want to set this defense up, the fact that they didn't go out and get a ton of help in the secondary, like, you know that they're going to try to generate most of that secondary help from the pass rush, right? So why would you take one of your best pass rushers and not get him happy prior to the season starting? That and listening to Brett Veach and how he talked about, Chris Jones working opposite of Frank Clark. Him working opposite of Frank Clark. Like, just hearing what he wants in the future for those two guys, it's really hard for me not to believe that they're going to try to make him happy before the start of St. Joe.
Well, here is my reasoning why, and I wonder,
why they're not going to pay him.
This is what I could think that I could see them thinking. The Chiefs, business wise, they look to try to make sense of things, and they know they're going to pay. They're going to have the highest paid player in the game next year. They have already paid Frank Clark, who is third behind Khalil Mack in terms of amount he gets per year, behind Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald. This is a guy that's only done this 1 year. Like, his previous years before the 15-sack season, he had 6 sacks. He had 2 sacks. He wasn't thought of as an elite defensive player.
We also agree, though, that 1 year is better than any year Frank Clark's had, right? Like, I mean, Frank Clark's been a really good player. He has not played at the level Chris Jones played at last season.
I mean,
I think Frank Clark's
been, I don't know, man. He's been consistent, man.
No, I mean, you can make the very strong argument that last year Chris Jones was the second best defensive lineman in the NFL behind Aaron Donald. I would say 60% of the listeners didn't know who Frank Clark was, I mean, prior to them trading for him. That's how good Chris Jones was last season. He was phenomenal.
Okay, all right. Yeah, he was phenomenal last year, but the Rams made Aaron Donald wait. Aaron Donald they franchise tagged him. They didn't pay him off of 1 year. He got, even after he won Defensive Player of the Year, they still didn't break him off. And they didn't have other guys like Patrick Mahomes and Frank Clark that they took care of. I'm just curious. You know you have to commit big money to a guy like this, arguably more than you have to commit to Frank Clark. And the thought is, to me, is, are you completely confident that down the line this cat is a top 3, top 5 defensive player of what you're paying him? because of everything you got to pay. I would wonder, is that in their mindset?
Yeah, sometimes I don't think we really think about the business sense. Like, let's try to equate it to our job, and I understand that our job's not their job. And Vern, I hate to make you the analogy, but follow me on this. Let's say they fired Vern, right?
Go into it. Anyway.
Let's say they fired Vern, and they brought somebody in to pair with you. And then you found out that that person made five times the amount that you made. What's your energy towards Spec every day? What's your energy towards the management to it? That's essentially what just happened here. I'm Chris Jones. I make $2 million next year. Frank Clark makes $16 million, and I'm supposed to come here and do my best for this company and believe that if I keep working hard, you're going to pay me at the end?
Oh, I get like, it from Chris Jones' standpoint.
We just know that's not how people operate. And I don't – going into St. Joe – aside from the Tyreek Hill situation that is clearly ongoing, I want everybody focused on the exact same thing. I want everybody on board with this year is not about personal gain. This year isn't about personal numbers. This year is about going to the Super Bowl. I don't know if you can say that to Chris Jones if you don't take care of him financially.
And that's what I said to Vern earlier. Do you think, because he's under contract, I mean, he's under contract for next year, do you think that Chris Jones would be a different person on the field and in the locker room if he didn't have a long-term deal? I don't see him as being as somebody who would be disgruntled and would cause problems in the locker room.
I mean, I don't think that he's going to go the Le'Veon Bell route, but I certainly think that there's got to be a little more of that, like in the back of his mind of, man, what more do I got to do? Like, what more do I have to do to prove myself to my employer? And you're right. Like, I made the same analogy this morning on the show. Like, you're sitting here grinding away trying to get this big money deal, and instead what the team does is bring in a guy who has done nothing for your organization, who hasn't proved himself to this organization and the coaching staff here or the front office here. Meanwhile, Chris Jones has done all of those things, and Frank Clark's the one that's getting the payday. Like, I can understand how that could, in the back of your mind, really build some animosity.
Oh, I get it from Chris Jones'
Here's
standpoint.
The question you need to ask yourself. Chris Jones, is he a guy that you worry about once you pay him, of him relaxing, him turning into a different player? I think it's no. So if that's the answer, if it's a no, you got two Chris Joneses here. Chris Jones paid in 2019. Chris Jones on a prove-it deal in 2019. What's the best Chris Jones? To me, a paid Chris Jones, a secure Chris Jones, a Chris Jones that knows the organization has said, yes, you're our guy. We know you are just now entering your prime, and we think your best is yet to come. I think you see an even better Chris Jones in 2019 if you take care of him.
And I think it's just completely different given the fact that you paid Frank Clark. Like, to your analogy about Aaron Donald, they didn't bring it in. They didn't bring in Ndamukong Suh and then pay Ndamukong Suh and then keep tearing Aaron Donald to pay on the rookie deal. They just didn't pay anybody in that context. And then when they finally got around to paying Aaron Donald, sometimes I just don't think we put in, like, and you can die playing football. Like, we all know the health risk that goes into it, that I just can't imagine the internal pressure to play through injury, the external pressure to play through injury, everything these organizations tell you. And then when you've done everything they tell you to do, and now we agree in NFL circles, it's time for you to get paid. After year three, you had a fantastic season last year. Now's when you get paid. For them to tell you to wait another year while you see other – I mean, it wasn't just Frank Clark that got paid. Tyrann Mathieu got paid. Like, while you see other guys around you get paid and you haven't been compensated, I just can't imagine going to work every day and being happy with
it. I could see completely being annoyed from Chris Jones. But as you said, to ask yourself the question, if I'm the Chiefs, I've asked myself this question. Frank Clark is a part of it. I had to pay Frank. I know I'm going to have to pay Pat Mahomes, other guys. I got to know that this guy is going to be an elite top five defender if I'm giving him top five defender money, especially when I have all these other people paid. And I am not so certain, and I don't know if the Chiefs are so certain, that Chris Jones is that.
Congratulations to Mike and Lee Summit. You walk away with those Royals Twins tickets. Let's give away a KC MVP golf card. Gets you on five of the best courses in the area. Adams Point, Minor Park, Sycamore Ridge, Heart of America, Swope Memorial. You can buy one right now for $99. It's $340 worth of golf. Just $99 online right now, mvpgolfkc.com. Or you can win it right now. Be caller number 7 to 913-576-7610. Caller number 7, you win a KC MVP golf card. Get yours right now at mvpgolfkc.com.
Now, you think after last night, the reputation or how people view Kevin Durant has changed?
Absolutely. I thought the point that Jalen Rose made today was very fair. I think that I don't think that in sports we don't see players' humanity until something human happens to them. Like, yesterday was a very human thing to happen to Kevin Durant. Like, there was certainly pressure, I would guess, internally and externally for you to come back. I mean, and Kevin Durant cost himself a significant amount of money yesterday. Like, a significant amount of money that I think, I mean, I would, oddly enough, like, I think that's one of the things, like, that happened during the Warriors. Like, I think that softened people's stance on him so far joining Golden State.
I think it's weird, too, to me, because I think that there was, going into the night, you could kind of dispel a lot of that we didn't need KD to win mentality, because if he comes back and he helps you essentially, you know, storm back in the finals, like, yeah, you needed him to win. You clearly needed him to win. Well, guess what? He put up, what, 11 in the first quarter they went down? I mean, it was the fourth quarter that they really shined, and they didn't need KD to win in the fourth quarter. So there might even be an argument to be made that it kind of hurt him in the fact that, like, the Warriors can now say, yeah, see, we definitely didn't need him to win.
But they need to go on and win it. I think the only way it helps his legacy or he becomes human, like you said, C-Dot, is if they win. I think they have to win the title or else this is forgotten. This is just a moment in his career.
I don't know about that.
I think we're all very prisoner of the moment right now, thinking that sports fans, who are always, what have you done for me lately, are going to remember this over the next 5 to 10 years of his career when there's going to be ups and downs. Unless the next 5, 10 years of his career are littered with championships, this is going to be just a footnote.
Yeah, I was listening to Bill Simmons' podcast actually when I was driving in. He made a really good point. I mean, Kevin Durant is 30 with now a severe Achilles injury. Like, there aren't a whole lot of examples of guys come back from Achilles injuries and play basketball at the exact same level that they played at. Like, I don't know if we see arguably best player in the world, Kevin Durant. And, I mean, this shifts the balance of the NBA. I think a lot of us thought he was going to go join the Knicks. If I'm the Knicks, I mean, it's either sign the 4-year deal and just assume that 2 of those years you're not going to get peak Kevin Durant, or he signs a 1-year deal with Golden State and just doesn't play next season. Like, this has a lot more ripples effect than I think just game 6 and 7 of the NBA finals.
Because, see, going into it, I feel like the reputation of Kevin Durant is he is soft. He does the burner stuff. He is a guy that took the easy way out. He didn't tell Russ when he was leaving. He didn't call up Russ himself. He just left and went to Golden. Like, I feel like it was a lot of negative. To me, it felt like in that moment, he went from being the villain to being a guy that people sympathize with, a guy that people look at and say, man, that dude knew he had a chance to get himself injured. That dude knew he had a chance, and he came out in a 3-1 hole to help this team. And then when he got out there, you saw the difference. I feel like it is a completely different way that people are going to view Kevin Durant.
And you talk about, like, people thinking he's mentally soft too. I don't know if it necessarily did a whole lot to help him there. I mean, if we're going to say that pressure was one of the biggest reasons, if he was feeling pressure either from social media or from people in his circle or people in that locker room, like, how can you tell me that helps is the case of him not being mentally weak when, in fact, if he went and did something that his body said, hey, you know what, I can't do this. Well, if you're succumbing to the pressure, that doesn't do anything for you to, you know, get past the mentally weak part.
Yeah, I disagree there. I would say, like, kind of like how we say there's a difference between, like, street smart and book smart. Like, there's different levels of soft. Like, there's no denying that Kevin Durant will argue with a 15-year-old on Twitter about his, like, you're the second best basketball player in the world. Right. Like, why are you arguing with teenagers about basketball? There's no denying that he does that. I've never questioned his competitive nature, and I think a lot of people did that whenever he joined Golden State because he, quote-unquote, took the easy way out. I mean, Kevin Durant made a decision yesterday that we all agree was not in his best interest.
None.
And I would say in the best interest of us, the fans, and in the best interest of people in the organization. And, I mean, and his body had to pay the price for it.
Congratulations, Tom in Kansas City wins the MVP golf cart.
I mean, it's not like he did it in game 1, though. He did it in game 5 when you were on the brink of elimination.
I mean, now looking at it, I don't know if Kevin Durant could have played 2 weeks ago.
And look, I'm not, like, trying to question his toughness at all about it. I'm just saying, like, if you want to win all those brownie points for me, you needed to do it in game 1, not game 5. You didn't need to wait till the last possible second and then come storming the gates.
Ryan Witkowski from Fesco in the Morning, Carrington Harrison from The Drive. A final thing real quick about Tyreek Hill. I'm having a tough time understanding on what leg the NFL suspends him. I hear people liken this to Ezekiel Elliott. Ezekiel Elliott had a woman allege 5 different incidents of physical abuse. She forwarded photographs of her injuries to the prosecutor's office. I've heard people bring up Ravens cornerback Jimmy Smith. He's a guy that had his former girlfriend allege a history of substance abuse and illicit drug use. It went to court, a history of being physically violent towards her. There were allegations. It was a court case. This, to me, seems as if he's going to be suspended because he spoke in a way that is unbecoming of an NFL athlete. If I'm the Players Association, I say this is unprecedented. You've never suspended someone for speaking poorly. That, to me, reflects something that the Players Association should lose their damn mind about. I mean, outraged if Tyreek Hill has to miss a game.
I do think that he's going to be suspended under the Jimmy Smith umbrella because, at least according to the NFL, they suspended him for menacing language in a text message. And, I mean, if the NFL is going to have the umbrella to use the conduct detrimental to the league,
which is anything.
I mean, you had an NFL player on tape say, "You should be terrified of me too, bitch."
If followed not, by what has happened in the past, and that counts within the NFL.
If that's not conduct detrimental to the league, then there is no other conduct detrimental to the league. You either get suspended, then I do understand
it's
the belief.
It's a very slippery slope, meaning that any athlete that speaks in a colorful or in a derogatory way to anyone can now be suspended 6 games if that's recorded unbeknownst to them?
I don't think he gets suspended for rough. 6. I think it's between 2 to 4 if I had to guess. And again, I think it's under that Jimmy Smith umbrella. I just think we allowed the NFL to go through this slippery slope a long time ago that I think people are trying to now argue the slippery slope when now it affects the Chiefs. Man, that slippery slope argument happened a long time ago. Like, there is no concrete evidence that Tom Brady ordered those two Patriots assistants to deflate the footballs. He tried to take it to the Supreme Court to eventually get it turned over.
I mean, that affects the game. I mean, that's
I agree.
The game.
I agree. But I'm saying is, if they went that hard after Tom Brady, if they went that hard after Ezekiel Elliott, who's a star player on the most popular team in the league in the Dallas Cowboys, like, we think they're not coming for Tyreek Hill. I've always operated on the belief of it's not a matter of if he's suspended, it's just how long he gets suspended.
I don't know why we keep going back to the well of precedent, too, because, like, with the NFL, precedent really doesn't mean a whole lot, right?
There's been a lot of new precedents.
It's been pretty arbitrary the way that they hand out discipline in the NFL. So I would say, number one, I don't know why we keep going back to that. It's good as a guidepost to say, hey, well, Jimmy Smith had this happen. I think and we were listening to Pro Football Talk Live last night, and Florio made the point. He said, you know, it's the 100th year of the NFL. They don't want anything to taint this 100-year celebration they have. And that's why he thinks he won't play all year long. When we talk about conduct detrimental to the NFL and the league, I think just the fact that this conversation has occurred for months now is enough for Roger Goodell to go, this is detrimental to what we're doing.
But it's not. It's not. Right?
But that doesn't,
it's not detrimental to the league.
I don't think it necessarily has to be detrimental to the game of football, but it's certainly detrimental to the Shield. You've got people who, whether or not they're going to stand by their tail, is, I'm going to stop watching football if Tyreek Hill sees an NFL field this year. Like, there are
but
people.
I don't believe that there are those people. I think the NFL makes more money with Tyreek Hill on the field than they do with him off the field.
I think the NFL, I would say the biggest problem Goodell has faced in his time as commissioner is when it comes to suspensions and handling domestic violence. I think they've done a poor job. That I do think at the core of the audio that we've heard from Tyreek Hill, we can at least come to the conclusion that he's verbally abusive. Like, there's no denying that based on what he said. And based on, I think, what we know about the injuries to the child, he is somewhat physically abusive to his 3-year-old son. Like, if that's not conduct detrimental to the league, again, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, I said to Vern in our meeting this morning, man, when you combine what he said and with his history, I could get you to say, when you say, yeah, anybody can say anything that could be menacing, I think also you got to include their history and his history, especially with that person. And they can do that underneath that umbrella. Appreciate you guys jumping in.
No
caller
problem.
Number 20.
Goodness gracious.
Caller number 20.
You're making it work for them Royals That's and right, Twins baby. Tickets.
That's right. Caller
the
number 20.
The hardest word a fan done to see the Royals play all season.
The first place. The first
20
place.
20 callers?
The first place, Kansas City. All right. The first Wait, place, what? Minnesota oh. Twins. Taking on the Royals.
I thought he was talking about the Kansas City Comets or something when he said first place.
Down,
the
man.
Mavericks or something.
Caller
I know
number 20, your
Royals.
Chance to win Royals Twins tickets. Appreciate you guys jumping in with us.
Thanks for having us.
Shop Talk every single Tuesday. And remember, the final Tuesday of each and every month, the entire gang will be here. Everybody from Fesco, everybody from The Drive, and then...
You really going to make that man answer 20 phone calls?
Yes.
913-576-7610. The work he did yesterday,
caller number 20.
Oh, I'm not going to answer 20.
But the thing is, though, I mean,
you have to. Once you say it, I mean, that's like in the rules, man. You can't come on the air and say, I'm not going to answer 20 phone calls.
I used to be a producer, too, and I will very happily, hey, caller 11, thanks for calling. Caller 15, come on now.
Yeah, but that was before 20 phone calls.
You answer all 20 of them?
Yes.
So did I.
Time.
I used to.
Me too.
I'm a man
of the people. I'm
There's
doing this
rules
for them, not,
here at Entercom. We're that big business.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Those rules. That's what I was doing. You're right. I was following all those big rules.
Take a lot to step right. Come on now.
All right. Coming up, your next chance. Remember, in the next segment, you have two opportunities to win a pair of Royals tickets, and the next chance you will get is soon as we get back on the air.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.